sweet souls, and welcome back to Love, Sex, and Magic with me, your host, Mel Wells. I am so excited about this episode because it is with one of my absolute all-time favorite spiritual teachers, authors, speakers. It is Danielle Laporte. Danielle Laporte is a member of Oprah's Super Soul 100, a group who, in Oprah's words, is uniquely connecting the world together with a spiritual energy that matters. The former director of a future studies think tank in Washington, D.C., where she managed a team creating global scenarios, she now speaks about the intelligence of the heart. Her most recent book, How to Be Loving When Your Heart is Breaking Open and the World is Waking Up, is also an audiobook and ebook with a companion deck and journal. Danielle is also the author of The Firestarter Sessions, The Desire Map, White Hot Truth, and producer of dozens of medication kits and online programs for spiritual support. This was such an incredible conversation. I loved the richness and the depth of this conversation. We talk about how you can return to your heart, how you can live a more heart-centered life. We talk about inner child. We talk about boundaries. We talk about spiritual bypassing. We talk about the pandemic and just so, so, so much more. I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. So enjoy. Well, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Danielle. Thank you so much for being here and being our first podcast guest in a little while. It's been a little break because of the birth of Sky, but I'm so happy that you're here. So happy that it's you.
I'm glad to be like mama inaugural conversation. Yeah.
Yes. Before we hit record, you asked me how many hours sleep I had.
Well, if at all.
Yeah, it was about 3 to 4 hours, I think, possibly five, if we're counting like all the little snippets. But like the oxytocin just kind of takes over, you know?
Yes.
And you said, well, it's meant to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you, Danielle, because I'm in a time in my life where my heart has just been blasted into oblivion, into expansion beyond what I could have ever known, what I could have ever anticipated. Mm-hmm. And you probably don't know this at all, but I have been a part of your community for many years, and I have been an avid follower and fan of your entire body of work for a long time. And I have to share this story with you because in 2014, I hope I'm not going to embarrass you, but like in 2014, I was starting to think about writing my own book. Yeah. And I stumbled upon your Big Beautiful Book Plan, which was a program that you had. Like, it was like an ebook program. I think it was only about $70, and I consumed it over and over again. And I used it to write my first book proposal, which then became my first book deal with Hay House, which then led to a second book deal with Hay House. And I wrote to you, I wrote to your team at the time, and I said, thank you so much. This was magnificent. And this completely changed everything. So I wanted to just let you know how much your work has impacted me over the years.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a good, that Big Beautiful Book Plan. It's a map. Like, it's really, this is how you do it. And what I always say to people who are creating book proposals is it's so much more than a book proposal. You're actually refining your business plan. It's the same thing I used to tell clients when I did one-on-one like business work. I would say, you know what? We're going to start by designing your website. They'd be like, what? I don't even know what I'm doing. And I'd be like, haha, yes. But when you get clear on that structure, it's going to push you to get clear on each thing. Like, what's going to go here? What's going to go there? Who are you really? So I like that kind of outside to in approach. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And fast forward years later, you reached out while I was going through the birth of Sky, the NICU experience, and you were just so sweet and supportive. And it just felt so serendipitous that we would have this conversation around the launch of your brand new book, which I have right here, How to Be Loving, As Your Heart is Breaking Open and Our World is Waking Up, which just feels so potent and timely. Mm-hmm. And did you write this during the pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
You did.
It was so hard to write. Yeah, it's the toughest book. Just because I was so distracted. You know, things were like, this is it. This is falling apart. This is like starting to smell like apocalypse. Who knew what was going on? And then I went through all this really like profound letting go and reassessing myself. I really feel like this time, it's not over yet, but this time is like this compression from the divine. Like, we need to go this way. But to get through this portal, you have to throw some stuff overboard. Like, there are things you cannot take with you to this new land. Like, you know, your grievances and all your hangups, some of your hangups, and a lot of your physical stuff. So yeah. I did a lot of pitching in the last while.
Yeah, it definitely was a portal that we all went through as a collective. And it really was the time where the world has felt the most divided. So, you know, to be writing a book, How to Be Loving, you know, as the world is waking up, which it literally was in so many ways. And there was so much division, and in many ways still is, you know, there was so much with the political sphere, the whole vaccine sphere, just everything that was going down on social media, on the internet. It felt like a scary place to be. And it felt like a hard time for us to be loving towards each other. You know, I can remember, you know, not wanting to share too much because I didn't want to upset. I didn't want to create more division, but I also wanted to have my thoughts, you know, there. I wanted to share how I felt, but at the same time, it's like some people are going to take it the wrong way. Like, how can I be loving without spiritually bypassing, which is something that I want us to explore together today. But first of all, I want to hear about the journey that you went on to go from the desire map, which was so huge. And by the way, I have been using the Desire Map Planner for years, and I'm so sad that it is no longer here. so sad about that.
It might come back. If anybody wants to publish it, I'm going to give it to someone to run with. But yeah, I had to focus on how to be loving. Yeah.
Yes. So the Desire Map, the fundamental key piece of the Desire Map was, how do I want to feel?
Yes.
And then we design a life around how we want to feel. And you share in this book that question that your life was guided by started to shift. Mm-hmm. Can you share that journey?
Mm-hmm. Having a tough time, dark night of the soul, not feeling my core desired feelings, not feeling like a spiritual winner, and yet still feeling like I am connected to God. I love people. I'm actually more into like being here than I've ever been. Maybe life isn't about me just being happy or feeling badass or whatever it is, you know, that I wanted to feel. And then getting clear that, I mean, I'd been aware of this for a while, that love isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion, because feelings come and they go. They're not eternal. They're not the foundation of consciousness. Love is. Loving kindness, compassion, and you can access that no matter what. But what I really got clear on was that I want to be loving no matter what's going on outside of me. And this is really like kind of the spin of New Age, right? It's like you choose your thoughts and all of that. All of that's true. That's all good things to aspire towards. But it's like, well, what's the anchor that's going to have us not get torn out, not move into division, not take the swing on social media, not feel off center when someone comes at us? And that is, you can choose any virtue you want, but it's a state of consciousness that you want to embody. You want to speak with it. You want to speak compassion. You want to eat compassionately. You want to text compassionately. That's embodiment, consistency. And well, I thought, you know, let's just be efficient. I just want to be loved no matter what. So then the question becomes, what do you want to embody? And it's a very different way of, it's the evolution of how do I want to feel? That's a different way of living.
Yeah. I love that. It's the evolution of that. That is so true. And yeah, one thing that I particularly love about your work, Danielle, is you really take what is current in the new age way of thinking about spirituality, and you really like closely examine it and go, is this actually true? You know, and I remember you did that a lot in White Hot Truth as well, which I loved as well. And also thank you for showing me that it's okay to have a 5-year gap between books, because my book is not fully cooked yet either. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's been a while. And reading your book, reading this book now, How to Be Loving, I'm so happy that you took that 5 years, because it's so rich and it's so deeply embodied, and every word is intentionally there. And I just really feel that this was really beautifully well done and well cooked by you.
Thank you. Yeah. Don't, I mean, especially with book babies, it's not about your quarterly objectives. It can't be about a calendar.
Yeah. Beautiful. So when it comes to embodying love no matter what, returning to love, I do feel as though, especially throughout all of the craziness and wild things that have been going on in our planet over the last couple of years, when somebody has, you know, been embodying love and doing their best to like return to love, there has been this conversation around, oh, well, that's just spiritual bypassing, or, oh, you're virtue signaling. Right. And I'd love if you can share a little bit more about your take on this, and like where that balance is between like really acknowledging, yes, this is terrible, and this, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now that are pretty shit, and, you know, being okay to be there. And then where do we decide, okay, now I'm going to return to love? Where is the balance within that sphere?
Do you want to talk about virtue signaling first?
Yeah.
Okay. Virtues are love. Virtues are higher states of consciousness. So love is the mother virtue. And then there's all these sister virtues, these daughter virtues that come out of love. We're compassionate, we're forgiving, we're resilient, all those things. Your virtuousness is between you and your soul. It's not between you and anybody else. Nobody, anywhere, even your bestie, your psychotherapist, can say with accuracy if you are coming from your virtue, from your heart center, or if you are ego motivated. So just stop judging somebody else for their actions in the world and saying it's less than, that they are coming from a place that really is probably something that we are projecting onto this other person. You know, like I used to have this, you know, terrible thing I would say about other people. Oh, she's just all about her. Jane is just all about Jane. And you know what? In those moments, Danielle was just being all about Danielle. So if someone's pointing at somebody and saying, oh, she's just, you know, this is a PR stunt. She just wants to be visible. Just rest, just peace. Because the thing that happens is you can't be declaring that with any accuracy. Also, you may have the wisdom and the clarity to see like, okay, there is some signaling going on. This is a bit performative. Just let them be. Mm. Let them make the donation. Let them post the post. Because something good might come out of that that will soften that person and really get them out of that place of, I'm doing this so I look good, to like, wow, this actually had a positive effect. This softened my ego. Now I'm going to do it from love. Let them do it. Stop. I just find this one of the most painful things of our culture, of the self-help space, is this Yeah, the judgment around virtue. I mean, even just the phrase judging someone's possible virtuousness, I just find it like so tragic. You don't know. What was the other? What was the first part?
Yeah, beautiful question. I feel like it's you know, what I'm hearing you say and what I'm, you know, interpreting this to be is like the more we can be loving towards ourselves, the more we can not have those judgments on ourselves, the more we can extend that out into the world. And I have definitely experienced that the more I'm able to bring love to different aspects of myself unconditionally as much as possible, I find myself less judging of like, oh, this person's doing this because of XYZ. Oh, this person's doing this because of da da da.
And right? You know how that's heard, I think a lot. I've had this filter before where we hear someone say, I'm loving myself more unconditionally. Mm-hmm. And I think what our ego divided mind here hears is, oh, she's learning to love how amazing she is. She's learning to love how successful she is. And that's not what the real work is. Like, now I have a different understanding of it. I'm making an assumption. When you say, you know, loving other parts of myself, I know or assume that you are probably loving your shadow stuff, your dark stuff, the stuff that you've been pushing away, the secret stuff. And that's really where the work is. Because if you just, you know, I'm just going to celebrate my wins more. Okay, like, that's cool. Do that.
Totally.
But we need to honor our greed, our neediness, our neuroses, our manipulation, all that kind of stuff. And when that happens, there is this gentleness that you tap that is so powerful. And it will change all of your relationships. It will affect how you sleep at night and how we raise our babies and all those things. And this is why I really feel that how to be loving is counterculture, because it's really about how to be more gentle with yourself, your stuff.
Yeah. And less judging. More loving is less judging. And the virtue signaling, the virtue piece, like questioning people's motives, feels to me like we are assuming ill intent from people instead of assuming, assuming the good, assuming the positive intent, assuming that it comes from a good place.
You had asked about spiritual bypassing.
Yes. Can we talk about spiritual bypassing? And what does this mean? And how do we know when we're doing it? And
okay. That? So let's just nail the definition. Spiritual bypassing is when you use a spiritual perspective idea to really sugarcoat something that seems to not be spiritual. So my anger, you could judge it and say it's not very spiritual. My pain, that loss, not very spiritual. My rage, you know. And so then we swoop in with, it's my karma, so it's okay. Or, you know, there's a gift in the pain, so it's okay. Or I'm resilient and radiant, so it's okay. The thing is, all of those spiritual truths are potentially true, that everything happens for a reason, that everything is for our healing, that there is a gift in the pain, but you can't skip. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the skipping over. Just look at it. Just, were you hurt? Oh, let's just be there for a second. That hurt. Look how human you are. Why were you hurt? Because when we spiritually bypass, it's so disempowering. As I have learned that when I see and embrace all that human stuff of myself that I've been avoiding for so long, like a long time, I avoided really being human. I used to say to my girlfriends, I remember like doing, you know, lighting up the Nag Champa incense, hennaing my hands in a dorm room saying like, this is totally my last life because I don't think I need to come back. And now I'm like, I'm so here for this, just to use the phrase of the day. I am here for this.
I love that. I love that you are here for this. And I love that that is such a big part of your work, is unpacking the spiritual ego, and really allowing ourselves to be here and to be in all of it. Because what I'm loving about this book is it's really a journey into the center of our heart and a real exploration into feeling it all, not ever trying to only feel love, but to actually be here. We are here to feel it all. We're not here to just be only feeling the highest vibration constantly. And I think when we are in those depths of pain and despair and hurt, and we're having those dark nights of the soul, is when we feel the most human, is when we feel the most here, is when we're reminded of our humanity the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our holiness. Mm-hmm. I want to put a fine point on it. Yes. Feel it all. Be awake. See every cloud that's going through your sky, every emotion, notice it. The trick is to not identify with it, feel it all. But guess what? You're not your feelings. What we're really here for is to hold it all.
Mm.
And now when I say that, you know, if I would have said that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh, heavy. What else can I do? What else do I got to do to evolve? You know, but it's like, oh, this is what, you know, when you're on your knees, I mean, look at what you've just been through with birth early. Hello, your child is here. Surprise. You realize what you're made of. And it's not about, I'm going to project on you for a second. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It's not about like, oh, I'm so tough and I can put all this stuff aside. It's like, I am so loving. Look at me. Look how loving I am. I feel this love. I express this love. I show up with this love. The love, I'm going to make another assumption. You know, all that love you're pouring on to baby boy Sky, probably a little bit kinder to the nurses. You just had so much more love to give. That's container. That's capacity. So we don't realize that we're like these tough warriors. We realize that we are mothers, every one of us, even the dudes.
Yeah. I completely agree. And definitely in the hardest experiences that I've been through, it has reminded me how huge my heart is, how expansive and unlimited and infinite it is, because you're so right. You do find in those darkest of moments, in those toughest of times, you feel the most love and the most expansion and the most ability that you didn't know that you had. And I think that strength comes from the heart ultimately. Yes. And I had a lot, you know, just talking about my experience with the premature birth and the weeks in the NICU, like I had a lot, you know, I was planning as much as you can ever plan birth, but I was visualizing, manifesting, etc., a fully natural home birth, you know, placenta.
I'm sure lavender oil, the candles, the chants, all of it.
The chants, the music, like all the things, not a doctor or hospital in sight. And it was very humbling for my ego because I really had a lot of judgment. I realized in my experience that I had a lot of judgment around a different kind of birth being the not spiritual way. And I was really brought to my knees in my experience, where I went from, I just don't want to end up in a hospital, to then being in a hospital for 7 weeks and being so grateful for the angels that work there. It was a real opening of my heart and a real shattering of what I thought was the way, the should, which I didn't really realize was coming from ego at the time. But I think when it comes down to it, only love, it's only about the love that you have for that child and that the child arrives safe and well. And so a lot of that had to be just completely dissolved in an instant.
Shattered is a hot word. think that's what happens. That's how we really become radiant. You know, radiance isn't about, I'm going to show up and shine no matter what. I want to show the world my glow. It's that, no, you get shattered. The masks get burned. And what's left is who you really are. And it's brilliant.
Yeah. It really feels like it's in those death portals, in that shattering, that we fall apart and then we're able to bring ourselves back together. Or like, what is left is, like you said, who we really are. And a lot of things have fallen away that are actually not ours to continue forwards with.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
Yeah. So one of the things that I want to move into now in the book, you say your heart is open all of the time. Actually, I get a lot of questions about, like, how do I open my heart? How do I open my heart to love when I've been hurt? And so I'm intrigued to hear what your take on this is, where you say the heart is actually open all of the time. And it reminds me of that Rumi quote about we are love, and we just have to, instead of seeking to find love, we just have to realize that we are love, and we have to remove all the barriers that put us, that were put in front of us to love. So I'm sure I've just botched that, but you know the one. Yeah.
This is my favorite semantical breakdown. So do we want to be in that place of, I want to open my heart? Yeah, of course. But what's really happening is, just to consider, maybe we could have a revelation that you are love. The foundation is always there. You are receptive. You are magnetic. You are generating that divinity all the time without question. What happens is the mind closes. And when we get that, when we understand that the foundation is this vibration, and then the aperture is just really these thoughts, then it's really motivating to choose different thoughts. It's also, I find it very comforting to just, I just remind myself, oh, I'm love. I got this. So that I show up as love to the conversation. Like just last weekend, my man and I were in a little bit of a row, and he was going to go off and do his thing for the day. And then I was going to do my thing. We're going to meet for sushi in the afternoon. And, you know, I went on my walk, and this is how tricky the ego is. Like, I'm coming up with all of these ways that, for the sake of love, for the sake of being closer, more intimate conversation, I'm going to nail him basically on why he's wrong. Right. But I'm telling myself, this is okay. This is actually progress. This is not progress. This is me just needing to be right, and why I'm wounded, and la, 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 la. And this is my practice. This is a micro practice that can change everything. I just look up at the sky and I go, I'm this vast. I am this loving. I just use the sky and just move into that vibe. Like, just imagine being that spacious and expanded. And this little tiff we're having is just this cloud, all these opinions. It's just weather. And I'm just going to let it go, because I'm this big. Like, again, this is the idea of, like, you are a very large container. You are a vessel, a conduit of love. And yeah, so then, you know, sushi time came, and instead of coming up with, you should have done this, and this made me feel this way, I just showed up and I was like, hey, babe. And that was it. We had a great night.
I love that. And it's not sweeping it under the rug. It's coming back to what's really important. And I have had similar experiences where I've been in little fights, or, you know, situations where there's like tension and triggers, and everyone wants to be right and prove their side of the story is the truth. And I found, as soon as I soften, as soon as I allow myself to soften and say, look, I love you, I want to connect, then we can talk about the ins and the outs. But if we can start by just coming back to love, I love you so much. I want us to be connected. Then we can move forward from there. And I love that you guys just said, hey, babe. And the love was felt, you know? Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Hey guys, just want to take a quick break from this episode to tell you about my favorite product that I'm using right now, and that is Pitsy Natural Deodorant. I've tried every single natural deodorant that's out there. This is the only one that actually works and lasts and stops me from smelling. But not only does it stop me from smelling, it actually smells freaking amazing. And there are 6 different scents. So what I love about Pitsy is I can basically choose the scent that I want that morning, depending on the kind of mood I'm in, depending on my outfit, the vibe that I'm in. So I might go for like rose, which I love the rose one. But then this morning I was feeling more in like a lavender clove bud kind of mood. I might feel in like a dark sea kind of mood. Like, I'm so multi-dimensional that I like to choose a different scent every day, right? So I love this product so much. It's also biodegradable, compostable. You can literally put this into the soil when you're done with it and it will completely disintegrate into nothing. So super good for the planet, which we absolutely love. But yeah, most of all, just love that it actually works, you know, as a natural product. So everyone get your hands on some Pitsy. You can use the code MELWELLS10 to get 10% off your order. So go to meetpitsy.com or Instagram/meetpitsy. All right, back to the episode. So speaking of love and letting go of things, something that you've written about is, how do we transform something so that it no longer takes up energy within us? Mm-hmm. And that is by loving it, bringing love to these situations, these parts, mm-hmm. these things that are taking up a lot of energy, causing us a lot of stress. We bring love to it. Can you talk about that process? Mm-hmm. And how we do that.
The foundational philosophy here is that you actually can't let anything go, but you can transform everything. Mm-hmm. So you had the experience, you were angry, or you're ashamed, or you're heartbroken, mm-hmm. you got dumped, you did something dishonest, whatever is making that, you know, that the twinge in you. Mm-hmm. And that twingy feeling, sometimes it's your conscience, you know, it's your soul saying, hey, you are better than that. Let's get things back on track, which is really the definition of karma. It's not about punishment. It's like, just let's get back to you being your whole self. Just a little reminder, mm-hmm. you can clean that up. So letting go for me is about transmutation and kindness, friendliness, warmth is the only thing that changes anything in a lasting way. Mm. So everybody right now can think of something about yourself that you hate. I mean, I rarely use that word, but we have that hatred going on, right? That you loathe. What's the stuff you don't even want to tell your therapist about? It's something that happened to you. It's something that you did. You don't want anybody on social to know about this. Mm. And what if you just had a friendly conversation with it instead of taking it back to therapy obsessively? And, you know, and this is really, I think, the conversation we need to be having with really everything and our fear and each other. So there's warmth. We know how to be warm. We know how to change our tone. We know the dialogue we could have with all that stuff we're pushing down. We know the kind words, we've got them. And it will interrupt a lifetime of resisting your shadow. Why do you want to interrupt a lifetime of resisting your dark stuff? Because all of your power is in the dark stuff. Mm. You become a whole person. You become more intuitive. Your instincts get sharper when you start pulling that stuff up out of the basement and going, oh, that's my fear that I bring to every conversation. That's me not wanting to be abandoned again that I write into my marketing copy. Mm-hmm. That's me not wanting to be neglected, which is why I just strive all the time. Oh, that's why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And then you say, oh, I love striving part of me. needy part of me. Oh, thanks for bringing that to my attention. I'm going to bring you with me. Let's go. So you're not saying needy part. You're not canceling your own neediness or calling it out, or even this bullshit of calling it up, which I think is such a disguise for just being righteous. I'm just going to call you up instead of call you up. Whatever. Does it need to be said? So we're not canceling our dark stuff. We're saying, I see you and I appreciate what you're teaching me and you're a part of me. I created you. You created your neediness. All that, the dynamic in the relationship that's driving you crazy, that is of your making. Mm-hmm. So stop pushing it away. It is all here to be loved. The anxiety, the panic attacks, the cold sweats, the not wanting to go to work, all those heavy feelings, it's some part of you saying, hi, I'm trying to get your attention. And attention is love. I just want you to love me. Could you stop trying to change me? Mm. And then everything just relaxes and you can pull it off.
Beautiful. And I'll speak for myself in saying that there's so much healing available when we do bring love to those unmet, unhealed, needing parts of ourself. And you speak in this book about inner child work, which I've done a decent amount of. And one thing that I want us to talk about is you say that it's, you know, it's not about going back in time and saying this is where this comes from necessarily and going back constantly to our past, but recognizing that the inner child is literally here within us in present day all the time. Mm-hmm. Can you go into a little bit more of that?
This is really important for people in the wellness space to get. I think this is my perspective. You take what you want, leave the rest. Your inner child is not you when you were 10 years old and all of the wounding and the trauma and the impact that everybody gets from some source, just part of the human journey. And when we get in all of these self-help spaces and these, you know, coaching conversations and workshops, and we operate that way where everybody bring forth their inner child and we're seeing ourselves being impacted by our parents. Now that's psychology work. That's therapy. That's you dealing with what happened in this actual lifetime. And you need support and rails to do that. Your inner child is a beautiful term, a very powerful, useful term for your unhealed self. And that can come from multiple lifetimes. It can happen. The wounding that's created this unhealed part of you can happen from something that occurred yesterday. So it's a symbol of the shadow, of the unmet stuff. And I have a meditation, a visualization called Love and Radiance. It's about working with your inner child. And what I've experienced, and lots of people do this, say is, you know, almost every time I do this practice, my inner child shows up differently. Yes, because it's you becoming aware of your pain, not so aware of your pain, this part of your pain, that part of your pain. So one day your inner child might show up as this symbol of like, she's just kind of beat up and bedraggled. And the next day you work with your subconscious, and your inner child shows up as shiny and happy and asking you questions. Mm-hmm. Those are just little fragments of yourself. So I think when we get stuck on this image of my inner child looks like this, your consciousness is shifting and growing at all times. So those inner images will shift, shape shift all the time. And my experience has been the more aware I become, the more loving I become, the more gnarly and darkness I see within myself. And, you know, from a meta perspective, it makes sense. Brighter the light, the darker the dark.
Wow. That's so powerful. What this has just reminded me of is whenever I have sat in, you know, I'm not really in this world right now because obviously I've been pregnant and new mama world, but whenever I've been in ayahuasca settings, they always, the shaman will always, the guidance will be, when darkness comes, move towards it with love and it will start to dissolve. When the darkness comes up in ceremony, you're not to run from it. You're not to resist it, because it is a part of us. It's there. It's going to be there. But when we look at it in the eye, when we actually move towards it with love, it dissolves, and it does.
That's it. Don't run and don't fight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hide and don't attack. Mm-hmm. To all of those things in yourself. And you will expand. But you're going to have to take those things with you. That's the warriorship. That's the wholeness. And it's the everyday stuff. I mean, just another very fresh, practical example with partnership. In a conversation with my partner recently, I had some doubt come up. Like, are we going to make it? This is a person I am deeply in love with. I am so committed. And I felt so ashamed the next day of doubting. I didn't even express it to him. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking to myself, ruh-roh, I don't know if we're going to get through, you know. And in contrast to the depth of my love and my commitment, I felt so embarrassed that I'd had a 24-hour doubt cycle. So what I could have done is shamed myself for doubt. Like, come on, Danielle, all the things you said, all the verbal committing, all of that, you've told everybody he's your one, you know. Instead of doing that, I was just like, oh, baby doubt, I got space for you. I am so loving. I am so spacious. Mm-hmm. I can be loving and I can be faithful and I can make a vow and I can have room for this doubt. And I'm going to take my little bit of shame with me into my workday, and I'm going to get a lot of beautiful things done. And that is the difference between, I think if we don't make those moves to embrace that gnarly stuff, the everyday gnarly, oh, can't believe I did that stuff, we become more fragmented. Because we'll take that pushing away of like, I shouldn't be doubtful. And that same energy will just get placed onto other things. I shouldn't be ashamed. I shouldn't be bossy. I shouldn't be entitled. I shouldn't be just bleeds instead of, oh, I got room for you. And you got room for everything.
So beautiful. So beautiful. There's one more thing that I want us to talk about, and that is boundaries, which feels like it is a really big conversation right now around, like, make sure you have your boundaries. Boundaries are a form of self-love. And as always, you know, you were able to come along and take this conversation and unpack it a little bit more. And I want to hear about boundaries as a developmental part of our awakening, and then what excessive barriers are, what your take on this is.
Mm-hmm. Got to have them. Essential. Be a grown-up. Learn what it looks like to build a life based on self-respect. You respect yourself. First of all, you demanding anybody else to respect you from your place of like, I hope I'm respected, is not going to work. So you get to a place of, I want to create a healing, nourishing life. So I'm only going to work these amount of hours, or I'm going to work for this kind of company, or this is the tone that works for me. This is where I want a holiday. I don't want to go home for Thanksgiving dinner. Those things. Do it, get it, master it. Don't stop there. Boundaries are part of growing up. They're not the end goal to being whole and profoundly loving and in charge of your life. I think my experience has been, you know, I was super unbounded and then I became very boundaried. And most people who speak from a, you know, with a psychological aptitude about boundaries know that we will overcorrect you know, like my dear friend, Terry Cole, has got a great book, Boundary Boss. Mm-hmm. And she says like, yeah, when we first work this muscle of boundaries, we might get a little excessive about it. And then we come back to center. My experience is that at one point I could see that my boundaries, being a boss about everything in my life, was actually tampering with my capacity to love. Mm-hmm. And then I wasn't being who I wanted to be. And I want, and it goes back to that image of like, I'm vast. My love is infinite as the sky. If you are shitty to me one day, I can handle it. Not only can I handle it and not take it personally, I can see that you have unhealed stuff that's come into my space, and I can gently love on your unhealed stuff. I'm okay. How are you doing? And so my life isn't about this works for me and that doesn't work for me. I mean, you can even hear that divisive tone. There's a line, do not cross it. Right is here, wrong is there. Look at it. It's all God. We're all bozos on the bus. We are all at different levels of development. We all have diamonds of wisdom. I want to be able to hold it all. And I really notice this with myself in this. Ironically, whenever I would get in some space, some workshop or a yoga class where we were all gathering to be more loving and conscious, that's when I would get most judgmental. Be like, you know, there's always the heavy breather in the yoga class. And I just like, what is with that guy? And he smells. Oh, you know, and I'm just like, I have room for him. It's okay. Mm. He showed up. He's on the mat. And you know what? He showed up with all his smell on the yoga mat. I showed up with all my judgment on the yoga mat. And it's a bloody miracle that we're both here at the same time on the planet. It's okay. I got room for the smelly people and the judgy people. And I got room for my own judgy. And that is not about boundaries. That is about life beyond boundaries. Once you really get the rhythm.
So beautiful. Danielle, I want to finish up this conversation with asking you three questions.
Okay.
Pertaining to love, sex, and magic. Okay. What is something that you love right now?
I love having these conversations. Oh, I'm so inspired by juicy, intentional, most specifically women. I mean, I'm having some rad conversations with some great men too, but there are just so many lights on the planet right now. I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. Beautiful. Me too. Yeah. What is something that turns you on?
Direction. Yeah. Know where you want to go. Life is going to, you know, it will be circuitous, but where do you want to go? I can actually be more precise about that. Vision is such a turn on for me.
Yes. Agreed. And the last time you experienced magic. How do you define magic? What is the last time you experienced what you perceive to be magic?
What I perceive as magic. Magic for me is like a creative coming together, team collaboration. We're just like, I have this, I love it. Again, especially women entrepreneurs, when one of us comes forward and says, I have this idea. I know it's not the final idea, but I'm just going to say it. And somebody goes, oh, if you did that. And then we did it this way. And you're just like, oh, I'm so glad I brought it up. I'd love this is magic for me. When working together makes it so much better. You realize, oh, could not have made it that sweet alone. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yes. Totally hear you with you on that. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Yes. I'm so excited for everyone to read How to Be Loving. We're going to include all of the juicy links to everything in our show notes. But Danielle, is there anything you want to just leave everyone with? Final note.
Yeah. final note is consider that your natural impulse is to forgive, that your soul will actually always default to forgiving. Mm-hmm. And we talk ourselves out of it, but what you really want to do is forgive and let it go.
Oh, I'm so glad you got that in there, because I mm-hmm. felt that, and that needed to be a part of this conversation. That mm-hmm. is so true. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. This is so rich. You're such a beauty. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. And likewise, and it's been just such an honor to have you on the show in this conversation. And yeah, it just really, really means a lot to support you with this book. So thank you.
Thank you.
So my loves, I hope that you loved that episode. If you did, please do share it on Instagram. I would love to see your story tags of you listening to the episode. We love to hear which episodes you guys have loved the most. Please also make sure that you leave us a juicy review on Apple, iTunes, or the podcast app, because that means so much to me and it really helps this podcast spread far and wide. So thank you so much for listening. I love you. I hope your week is filled with love, sex, and magic, and I'll see you next time.